Welcome to the Circuit Python Show. I'm your host, Paul Cutler. This episode, I'm joined by Pierre Constantino. Pierre owns Blue Micro, which creates and sells custom mechanical keyboards, macro pads, and more. Pierre, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Let's start at the beginning. When did you first get into computers or coding?
Well, that was actually quite a while ago. My dad mostly bought me like a ColecoVision Atom. So that was like early 80s, and then that was a very short-lived computer, but it was a computer that I started like just basic programming, and then after that I kind of like abandoned it and just got a PC and just started using it and went to like high school, university, and then, but I was always in the Radio Shack catalogs and like kind of like almost like lusting over like resistors and so on. But then when I got into college, I actually first got into a course of electronics, and it was probably the first makerspace, and that was like in early 90s. It was kind of like the makerspace of a time where you can like learn about just basic electronics and digital chips. And then during that same year, also did like a Turbo Pascal course. Then went on into university, and then at that point, I thought I wanted to go, like, in high school, I wanted to be, chemical engineer, and then college, I want to be electrical engineer. Then first got into, like, really my engineering degree, and then, there's this material science course that I think I like even more. I went into material science as a career, and it wasn't really material science, it was, like, metallurgy, really. And then I kept on going, doing more studies, and went into more like chemical engineering. And then when you kind of look back, all of the different studies and interests, well, now going today, what I do for electronics is really the marriage of a bunch of different things.
Let's talk keyboards. You have a Tindy shop where you sell a few different kinds of keyboards. Yeah. How did you get into that?
Well, it started maybe about 4 or 5 years ago when I first started with it, like just, I wanted to know about keyboards and mechanical keyboards. And I first started with like just a plain 60% keyboard, probably from AliExpress, then moved on into building a split keyboard. And at the time it was like a Lex split. So essentially a smaller keyboard that's literally split. It can be a little bit more ergonomic. And if I kind of go in it, it runs on two different controllers. So if you can look inside right here, they're Pro Micros. So Pro Micros, really, they're probably still the one of the most common chip for making keyboards. They're getting harder to get because of a chip shortage these days. And that's how I got into keyboards. But then a little bit later, there was a fellow on Reddit on one of the mechanical keyboard Reddit that kind of like said, here's my split keyboard that uses two Feathers, NRF832, like the original Feather, and they made himself a split keyboard all wireless, and like Feather like this is actually pretty neat. And I thought, I've got this whole keyboard, like that lead split that I talked about, and it uses the Pro Micro. And I thought, I got to make myself something to fit on there, because like a Feather wasn't really used for pretty, like I'd say 99%. If you build your own keyboard, it was very likely going to be using a Pro Micro. So I thought, I got to build myself something. And that's where I can like first started the Blue Micro. Blue for Bluetooth and Micro for micro size. So that's where the name comes from. And I created literally this Blue Micro here, and I'm just going to go back into here, literally to make them fit just as a one-for-one replacement. Obviously, they're bigger because the modules are not very small, and then they're smaller than the ESP32, but they're definitely larger than the Pro Micro. And then that's when I first really started, I got to build my own firmware for this, because the existing firmware for the AVR boards, like the Arduino-based boards, they don't really fit, because this is an ARM processor. And even if you look at some of the common firmwares, like QMK, they might have a branch, an area where, we support ARM as well, but it's very specific chip. And if you go outside of that, it's not supported. And then the complicating factor with these is there's a, a Bluetooth stack on it that's a Nordic firmware. It's a bit like a BIOS for a computer. Well, there's essentially a BIOS that is takes care of all the Bluetooth things. So that gets flashed to the chip, and the interface to it, the software dev kit, the licensing isn't quite compatible with QMK and a lot of other libraries. So there's been more like legal reasons than technical reasons for people saying, no, I don't want to go there because it's one of those can of worms that, okay, let's not touch it because it just might be a mess. Or if somebody comes back and, okay, it's not going to be there. So we had to look at, okay, what do I do? So I first looked into, okay, let's get like just a plain SDK from Nordic and just try to see if I can build something. And it was just impossible. It was like after like hours of just trying to get a blinky light, it's like, okay, that's just too complicated. And just kind of looking back, well, there's that feather. It's like, it's on Arduino. Within minutes, I had it running minutes. I had it running on here. So that made it like, okay. Going from hours of work with no success to minutes with, okay, something that flashed on here, I can make a light blink. I can build a whole lot more on this.
There's nothing better than that first feeling of seeing that blinking light, no matter which program language you're using or what board you're using. That sense of accomplishment, yeah, yeah. It always feels so good.
And then after this, so this is really where the Blue Micro firmware really came, because I essentially took I got inspired from QMK and said, okay, I want to build something that's flexible enough for other people who want to build their own keyboard to be able to just say, I want to just drop in that Blue Micro and just go on and have my own keyboard. So I kind of built own firmware and then like added a fair bit of functionality over the years. And I just kind of look back, and it was almost 4 years ago when I first had my first commit to GitHub on that. I actually forked it from like that first code that Reddit, a guy on Reddit had, and it was like completely different from what it looks like today. But then after that, obviously, the 840 came along, which kind of brought in USB. So nowadays, it's like a full keyboard, and it's actually pretty neat.
So you started with Arduino. What actually goes into making your own keyboard? When I look at some of the kits, there's the firmware piece, and then there's like the overlay software to help program it, and then some of the kits require soldering.
So let's just say this is probably my first keyboard that I've actually built with Blue Micro. So it's essentially a 60% as well. And for those that like don't quite understand 60%, so you've got, and I'm just taking like my wife's keyboard here. So you've got a standard size, which like 110 key. Well, remove the numpad, then you've got what's called a 10 keyless, but then remove the function key and the navigation, then you get 60%. So it's like close enough, like 60 keys over 110, close enough to 60%. And then, so my first keyboard was literally a 60% that I actually plugged in a Blue Micro underneath. And obviously you need a battery because it's wireless. But this PC board is essentially not even my design. It was somebody, I don't even know his name, but it's like 40% club on the internet. So if you just go 40%.club, you'll have a whole blog of somebody who builds just keyboards one-off and just documents it all. But he actually makes his design open source. And I got myself the keyboard and then soldered in all the diodes. And then you can see here, this is the format of a Pro Micro. But how do you go from like a Pro Micro that is on here to essentially, 61 keys? Because if you look carefully, Pro Micro only has 8 input-output pins. So going from 8 input-output pins, this is where the firmware and the hardware, the design of the keyboard really kind of comes in. So the firmware must know, okay, one, which pins are connected where, and then also which in what organization. Let's just take the example of the Adafruit MacroPad. I think a lot of people will recognize this. Well, this is probably the simplest if you just disregard the screen and the rotary encoder, this is probably the simplest, because literally what you have is 12 different buttons connected to a controller. So it's a one-for-one, a pin to a key, and, well, a key is a button, it's a switch. It is probably the simplest because you only have, like, one-to-one, it's 12, and then you've got enough pins. How do you go from 12 to 60 or 87 or even 100? Well, this is where you need to have a matrix. And in a matrix, what you do is you essentially have rows and columns. So here's a keyboard with 75 keys, and you've got columns and rows. So each row will be assigned a pin or an input, and then each column will be assigned another pin or another input. Now, typically the way it works is the matrix, either the rows or the column are going to be an input, the other one's going to be an output. So that this way you can scan one row at a time and read the entire set of columns, and then you just say, if I turn on this row, read all columns, and then there's a match. Oh, that's because you have a key here. So what you need to do is to scan over all the rows and all the columns to say, am I on? I am on. Am I on? And then you have your entire matrix of keys of 100 or 80 or 60, all depending. That's what powerful controllers, microcontrollers do, is really do all the scanning. It's constantly scanning, and that's the first part that the firmware must do, is to understand what that mapping between how to scan. So is it, am I only scanning just pins or a matrix? And how is that matrix organized? Because obviously if I have, let's go back to that one here. So if I have 18 pin on the Pro Micro and then I have 61 keys, okay, well, there's multiple ways you can go and divide those. So 18, it could just say, okay, well, I have 10, could I have 8 rows and 10 columns, and then that gives me 80 keys. But then if you count, you've got, I think, 14. So if you do the math, like 14, that's already 14, and you've got 4 pin left for the rows, but you've got 5. That doesn't work. So the way that this actually is organized, it only uses 16. So it's a matrix of 8 by 8. And it moves some of the keys around to give you a potential of a 64 keys, even leaving you with 2 extra pins to do other things. So if you look, this one, I've got a little speaker, so it does beeps. And it's got a MOSFET, so it does underglow lights. So it's got all 18 pins used for something.
Hi, it's Paul. I'll get you back to the show in just a moment. Thanks for listening, and if you're enjoying the show, please tell a friend or write a review. You can also support the show financially. Your support helps cover the cost of podcast hosting, recording services, and transcriptions. For more information, visit circuitpythonshow.com/support. Now, back to the show. So you've been working with Arduino the last couple of years, and then last year you launched a new keyboard that actually uses Python. What led you to that?
Essentially, last year, like, it was the great chip shortage of, well, and we're still in it, so we can't just say 2020 or 2021. But last year, the RP2040 came about. A lot of the other chips, including the NRF52s, were getting scarce. So I thought, okay, I gotta do something a little bit different. And then this RP2040, like, Raspberry Pi, they've made it really, really simple to build your own PCBs and chips, because they've got a really great guide on here's how to design your own device with the RP2040. They've got essentially a hardware building guide, and they even have a KiCad set of files that you can use as a reference. I said, okay, well, I know how to build keyboards. I know how to design keyboards. I've done quite a few, and I said, okay, well, let's just take the RP2040 and just put it all in, and it all came about. And for example, at work, this is I use my keyboard, and it just it runs. It's got, okay, I don't use the RGB, but it's got RGB and hot swap sockets, all the nice and sexy things nowadays. But I built it and said, okay, well, let's make it like available, and it's actually open source, but I do have quite a few available if anybody wants some. But it's and I actually created it, and it's like, okay, well, with CircuitPython, because just previously to that, I actually put my microcontroller on there, like the Blue Micro 840, and it was really simple. So it was like, I really can't attest how simple Scott and the Adafruit team has really made it simple to take your own controller, take an example that already exists, and then just say, okay, the only differences are these. I push it up, and then I think the most complicated thing was actually getting all the documentation lined up to be able to get my own USB product ID for this, because there's open source projects that kind of use those. That was the hardest part, because getting the keyboard or the controller in CircuitPython was simple. So the next step with the keyboard is like, well, I just need to do the same thing. And then that came along. I've got this keyboard running CircuitPython, and it was very, very simple to get it on there. And then I've even had people, oh yeah, I want a bigger keyboard. And this is how this one came along, was somebody came last December and says, well, are you okay if I kind of like design like it larger? And I says, yeah, sure. Like, if you want to contribute it back, and I'd be like, just set up a small production run so you can have your own, and you can like, we can test it out, make sure it all works fine. And so this is where the larger 87 came along, and they both run CircuitPython. They both, even setting up on KMK was very simple, because the examples are really simple. It's just a matter, you set up which pins are mapping to which rows and which columns, and then send disk key press whenever you detect that disk key is detected. So it was very, very simple.
Well, that's great to hear. How has CircuitPython helped you with troubleshooting?
This is where, like, when I went going back to Arduino, and if I even go back to the days of QMK, when you look at QMK, let's go with, like, the hardest difficult start first. If I want to create my own keyboard, or if I build my own keyboard, just even like having my own PCB, you're going to have a hardware problem. You could just say, oh, I have a short between these two pins, and then I've got like press a key, and then like there's like three that are showing up at the same time. If you have QMK, that's like all a prepackaged firmware with no troubleshooting tools of any kind, then it's very difficult to figure out what's wrong. Then you go to Arduino, where, okay, you've got to create a small program, compile it, and flash it. And then quite a few people are not comfortable programming. I'd say in the mechanical keyboard community, there's like really two groups. There's those who like the keyboards, and that's really what they're in for, the keyboard feel. And then there's those leading programmers that, yeah, they're not scared of diving in and going programming. By selling a number of keyboards and chips, like, and having that firmware, like having troubleshooting tools handy to be able to troubleshoot your own keyboard when something on the hardware does not work well is very useful. I actually built a number of tools to be able to help people troubleshoot. Oh, well, is this thing working? Is it shorted? Is it like just like not connected? So I've had a few tools there, but then I kind of like look at CircuitPython. It's like, oh my God, like you don't have to compile anything. You just copy the files, and it's like, is it working? No. Oh, just change a couple of things. Is it working? Oh, yeah. Okay. Found the problem, found the solution. It's so much faster to be able to iterate, because when you troubleshoot, it's always like your mind is working. Okay, do I need a multimeter? Do I need like try to see what's connected and not connected? Well, you've got a microcontroller right there with all its spins already probing what you want to like see. Is this connected to this? Well, you can ask these two pins, are they connected? And then you'll be able to tell. So it's with CircuitPython, it's a whole lot easier to iterate so much faster on identifying the root cause of your problems, and then moving on into, okay, I gotta pick up the soldering iron and fix this little piece or that little piece.
Well, that's great to hear. We're almost out of time, but before we go, I'm a vinyl record collector, and I have a segment called Turn the Tables. I enjoy the pun, I don't know if everyone else does. I've been asking all the questions. Now's an opportunity for you to ask me a question.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit different. Adafruit has been going retro lately with all the floppy disk stuff, but I'm going to go with a retro question here. If you go back maybe in your childhood or maybe the first computer you had, first computer game, and if you would pick, okay, here's the one game that kind of like, okay, I played it from end to end, or it was like the one thing that really kind of like hooked me, or kind of like, okay, I've got fond memories of, what would that be?
For me, it would be Broderbund's Lode Runner on my Apple IIc. And it was a platform scroller, and you could drill a hole and the bad guys would fall in the hole, or you had to drill more holes to go get the gold that was there. But what I loved about it is you could design your own levels. And that was the first game I ever played that I could design my own levels. And I remember just spending an entire summer just doing that over and over again and making it near impossible to play at times. But it was so much fun. If I had to go back, that would probably be the game that I would choose. Last question, if you're going to start a new project, which microcontroller do you think you'll reach for?
It's going to be one of two, and I'm going to kind of like divide it maybe even four ways. So if I just want to prototype something very quickly that I don't want to design like my own PCB, I would either pick the KB2040, because I've got a handful of them, or if I need more pins, I would probably pick a Pico. But if I need Bluetooth, I got to go back to the NRF52840. It's got USB as well, but it's got Bluetooth. And I've got quite a few of those of my Blue Micros, but I could like go for a Feather, or could even go like the bare bone module, which I'm just going to pull out this one, because I actually, if I build my own PCB, I could actually go and say, let's put the modules right on to build my own next keyboard. So, and this is probably an adventure I've kind of like started last November, probably, for like a super thin keyboard, like very, very thin. It was more of an experiment than just say, oh, let's see how low can I get it. And it runs again, because it's based on on that same chip. I was able to load CircuitPython and get KMK running on it relatively quickly, so.
That's so cool. Well, we're out of time. Pierre, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks again for having me.
Thank you to Pierre for being on the show. You can find Pierre on his YouTube channel at Blue Micro Wireless Keyboards. You can also find Pierre on GitHub and his Tindy store by searching for Blue Micro. For show notes, transcripts, photos, and to support the show, visit CircuitPythonShow.com. Until next episode, stay positive.